Hey there, Pet Bros. This episode is brought to you by a brand that's close to our hearts and our furry friends' health, Farmina Pet Foods.
Straight from Italy, Farmina is a family affair, crafting over 260 ultra-premium kibble and canned foods for cats and dogs since 1965.
And they are obsessed with nutrition, creating foods that are not just meals, but nutritional solutions backed by hardcore science.
And their N&D range is something else. They've got 7 product lines like Ancestral Grain, Ocean, and even Pumpkin. Because who doesn't love pumpkin?
Let's not forget their latest tropical storm, N&D Tropical Selection, plus the color-coding geniuses of N&D Brown and N&D White.
N&D White's all about keeping those light coats bright without the chemicals, and N&D Brown, it's the secret to a vibrant, fade-resistant, dark coat.
Discover Farmina's amazing range and their partner support program at Farmina.com. That's www.farmina.com, and get your paws on their products.
Attention, independent pet pros. Let me introduce you to the Pet Shop Girls, presented by Pet Product News.
Hey everybody, I'm Sherry.
And I'm Carly.
And welcome to the Pet Shop Girls podcast. Today, we embark on a journey not outward, but inward, to the shelves and spaces of our stores, and indeed our hearts. It's a tale of change, of growth, and of the courage to say farewell. Yes, my friends, today we talk about how to break up with a brand and gracefully eliminate it from our stores. In the dance of commerce, like in the dance of life, we find ourselves entwined with the partners that once moved us in perfect harmony, but as the music of the market changes, so too must our steps. It's not a betrayal, no, but an evolution of our dance, a step towards a future we craft with intention. As we ponder this transition, let us not be swayed by fleeting emotions or the fear of empty spaces. Instead, let us embrace the opportunity to fill those spaces with new possibilities, to align our shelves with our values, and to invite brands into our dance that reflect the current melody of our community's heart. All right, thanks, Carly, for letting me do my intro there.
Welcome to Deep Thoughts with Sherry Redwine. You guys can let us know if you want Sherry to continue coming up with her extravagant intros. Oh, boy. All right, you guys. We are looking at, you've been there. You've probably had to do it yourself already, or you may have to do it soon, or if you've never done it, you will have to do it. And that is breaking up with a brand.
Right. Sherry, so like what... We're going to talk about why this would happen, and then how do you do it? Let's cover why you would want to get a brand out of your store.
Well, I think there's a couple different reasons. One that a lot of retailers just experienced not too long ago. In fact, it was about a year ago when a quality brand was purchased by a ginormous conglomerate who had the complete opposite values in business with regards to the quality of the products. I don't think it's any surprise or...
Well, I mean, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. And so when these big entities buy up a brand that a small store carries, sometimes the ingredients change, right? Sometimes the quality just isn't there, or they go in a marketing direction we don't like, or maybe they go into big box and maybe that doesn't align with your values. Whatever the change may be, you've got to get it out of your store, right? And we've heard from some listeners that they don't know what the best way is to do that. So what's your first step, Carly?
So I think when I'm eliminating a brand from my store, there has to be a good reason, right? Because as I've talked about before, I do a lot of research before I bring a brand in. So however, I should also state that not only do I do a lot of research to bring a new brand in, I continually monitor our existing brands. So if they change or something about them changes. So they were bought by a big company. Lucky enough for us, we never did carry that brand, so we didn't have to go through that. But one of the first things that I do is I start to look at how popular is this? What is the turn rate in my store anyways? If it's something that is not a big seller anyways, it's a pretty easy transition. If it's one of my biggest sellers, that's a little bit of a different story.
That's tougher. That's a tough one. Yeah.
I think that another reason that might come up that we are going to eliminate a brand is maybe they weren't bought out, but they internally have changed, right? So I say that because we monitor our current brands that we carry. And if they start making changes or they start coming out with a bunch of not the same quality products that they were once known for, or they're making those changes that they don't tell us about, they start changing ingredients, they start changing packaging, they start changing their own suppliers. When they start making those changes, as a store owner, you might look at that and go, well, this no longer aligns with my mission or my core values, and they've got to go. What's another reason, Sherry, that you've seen a reason to get rid of a brand in your store?
Well, sometimes a brand just doesn't perform as well as it should. And I start eliminating SKUs just because it's not selling. And then I'm left with like three random SKUs on my shelf that are still selling, but it just looks bad, right? At that point, I may try to convert the few people left that are buying it to something else so I can just get rid of the whole line.
So let me ask you this, Sherry, because you have much more time in the industry than I do. Have you ever eliminated a brand due to a recall or multiple recalls? If they've had a recall, is it kind of like, well, we'll let that go, but if we see more recalls, then they got to go?
Yeah, it's on a case-by-case basis. So I have brands in my store that have had recalls. And as long as they're upfront about it, they're on top of it, they let everyone know what's going on, and it doesn't happen again, they're still there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think about too, like, and this was in 2018, I believe. So this is before my store, but I know that Primal did a voluntary recall because their bone cutter was out by a 16th of an inch. And so they normally the bones in dog food are cut to 1/8 of an inch and the cat is 1/16 of an inch, but the bone cutter was out by 1/16 of an inch. So the bone sizes in the cat and the dog food was up slightly, and Primal went and did a voluntary recall. They pulled it off all the shelves, and the retailers of the time were like, "What the heck are you doing?" And they said, "This doesn't meet our standards." That's the type of recall that I look at and go, bravo for you, because it didn't meet your standards. And so you don't want that product out there. I know that Primal did have a bit of an issue too here in 2021 that impacted the 6-pound bags of patties. I think it was very kind of confined to one product, but they acted very quickly. And again, they came out immediately saying, we're recalling this and it's for this reason.
Right. And to tag on to that, a recall due to like salmonella, I mean, especially if it's a raw brand, look, as long as they catch it and they're on top of it and then they scrub the whole place down and they're back up and running, okay. But if it's a recall that has to do with like pentobarbital in your food, maybe I don't want that food because why was that there in the first place?
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to get rid of stuff.
Yep. And I think, I mean, one other reason that as stores, we may choose to eliminate a brand is because that brand has negotiated or gotten into exclusivity arrangements with other stores, either in your city or in your province or state or wherever you might be. Or sometimes they do exclusivity by miles, right? Or by kilometers. If you're within a certain range of another store, they won't sell to you. In my opinion, that's more than a valid reason to eliminate a brand from your store.
Yes. Did you want to talk more about exclusivity right now?
You know what? For me personally, I think that exclusivity for a business, there is very, very few times where it makes sense. I know when Sherry was doing a little bit of research about this, exclusivity in the fashion industry is, it makes sense, right? In the example that you were using, Sherry, is we're not buying Louis Vuitton from Target.
Yeah. That would decrease the value of the brand, and right. I wouldn't want it as much.
And you know what? I think too, like even I guess fashion and beauty kind of go hand in hand. And I would say that perfume is probably falls under that category of beauty. But I know like Alfred Sung used to be kind of that very high end prestigious perfume. And I used to like, I loved my Alfred Sung and nobody was allowed to borrow my Alfred Sung perfume because that was my signature scent. And then all of a sudden Alfred Sung decided, I'm going to sell it wherever I want to. And it ended up being on shelves everywhere where it used to only be on those kind of high end department store shelves. And that to me really changed the brand. So in that instance, exclusivity, it kind of makes sense for the brand, right? Because it gives it clout. It gives it that exclusive. It's a very prestigious high-end brand. When I look at the pet industry, there are far more non-quality brands than there are quality brands. Now, the number of quality brands is growing every day. We are definitely leaps and bounds ahead of where we were years, even a couple of years ago, with regards to quality independent brands out there really trying to improve the lives of pets. That is my mission at my store, is to extend the lives of pets through nutrition. And that is why we are so diligent in our research and making sure that we only carry the best of the best when it comes to like food and treats and everything. I want to be able to sleep at night. I want to know that when pet parents purchase things from my store, they are positively impacting the health of their animals. And so I go to great lengths to find those really good brands. And luckily enough, the number of great brands that have that same goal, they want to positively impact the lives of animals. They want their products to improve the animals' lives. There's more and more of those brands coming, and more of those brands exist today. But for the brands that choose to be exclusive in either a store or a city or an area, I think they're really hurting themselves. They're reducing the exposure of their brand. They're reducing the number of eyeballs on their products, and fewer and fewer people know about them. So fewer and fewer people will ask about them.
Yeah. So less visibility. Plus, from the brand's perspective, you're putting all your eggs into one basket. And if the retailer that you chose fails you, then you've already alienated all the other stores in your area.
And you've turned off other customers, right? Because of how that store maybe represented your brand. So for me, exclusivity is definitely another reason that I would break up with a brand or exit that brand from my shelf. So Sherry, tell me, when you do have to get a brand out of your store, if it's a slow performer, if it's a low performer, if it's that like, oh, we kind of sell this, but you know, now we're down to two or three SKUs. What's your steps there? What are you taking to eliminate that brand?
Well, once I decide to eliminate a brand, I may let it sit on the shelf for a couple weeks and let it sell down, you know, especially if I had just reordered or something. And then I'll put it in clearance. If it's only two or three SKUs, I don't deem it necessary to make an announcement about it. But I do train my staff to recommend to the customers that have been buying it an equal or better alternative. Now, if it's a brand that I have a lot of and I'm getting rid of them all of a sudden because of maybe a bad recall, that's a different story. That's where I would make an announcement in email, put a sign up, still train your staff on what to recommend customers as an alternative. And if the food wasn't actually recalled, but it was still some other type of event that you just got to get rid of it fast, then I would also put it into clearance. And I go straight to 50% off. I don't worry about losing money on it. I just want it off my shelf so that I can make more space for something that will sell.
I think that that's a fear too, that a lot of retailers have, is that especially if it is a product that does take up a fairly large footprint in your store, and they're looking at that space going, holy cow, like, how do I refill that? What am I going to bring in to fill that space? But I will tell you, not that I have a ginormous store, so I see these things in the same way that everybody else does, but on a little bit of a smaller scale. But I look at when I'm like, okay, I'm going to get rid of that, or I'm going to clean out an entire door or a double door of freezer because I don't want that food anymore. What the heck am I going to do with that space? You know what? You always find something to fill it. We're kind of going in the opposite direction right now, where we're not eliminating a brand, but we're bringing in a brand new brand, and we're doing it very slowly and very gradually. So the shelf looks pathetic. I will be the first to say that. But what we've done is we've just double-faced with the items that we have brought in.
I was going to say, a merchandising trick is to just double face.
Yeah.
And it's like, my staff doesn't get that. I go up to them, I'm like, no, I want this to, like, they'll take my double facing and then they'll do a single row. And I'm like, no, I want to take up that space. Let's double, even triple space.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Let the multiple products you do have take up more space on the shelf to fill it,
yeah,
until you get something else in there.
Well, and I've said that to my folks too. Like, if we have, I wouldn't say an abundance, but if we have definitely more back stock than we normally do, and we've got empty spaces on the floor, fill them with, even if it doesn't normally go there, that's okay. Because maybe the customer never sees it where it normally sits, and now you've got it in this new space, and all of a sudden they see this product. And it's okay to have the same product in multiple spaces as you work to kind of rejig your store when you've broken up with a brand. It was interesting too, because I've seen folks ask about that in our Facebook group. Do you announce that you're getting rid of a brand, that you are replacing a brand? I think that, again, is a case by case. It really depends. If you're down to like two or three SKUs and you've got Dolly from down the street, she's the only one that ever comes in and asks for that. You could probably tell Dolly when she comes in the next time that, hey, look, we're looking to get rid of this. I will say too, in instances when we've looked at it and went, geez, this thing, we barely sell it, but we've got one customer who always wants to buy it. If it's a distributor that we order from on a regular basis, we will tell the customer, listen, we'll special order this for you. We're not carrying it anymore, but we'll still bring it in for you. And then it doesn't take up space in our store. It sits in the back, and that customer knows they've got to come pick it up, whatever it is, every 1 or 2 or 4 weeks.
Right, because you can be using that space for a different line that will sell more, and then you're going to make more money. And yes, that one customer may not be as convenient for them, but you got to look out for your business. You know what I mean?
Yes. So I think when it comes to announcing, if you've decided to eliminate a brand, how you announce that is determined by kind of how much space does that brand take up in your store? How popular is that product? How you announce that, I think there's a couple different ways. Whenever you're making announcements, regardless of what the announcement type is, there's a couple things that we do. Of course, we post on our social media. We have a weekly email that we send out to our customers. So if it is an important announcement that needs to get out there, send it out in your weekly email. Update the bottom of your receipt. You know, we've got a little space on our receipt where we can put messages for, you know, if we've got an event coming up or whatever's happening, you could update there. We also have acrylic paper stands. You know, they're just a one pager that you kind of slide in and they stand at
like a sign holder.
Yeah. And so again, depending on what's going on in the store, sometimes we will put a sign up in our sign holder. We also have a TV in our store that we create the content that goes on there. So different little videos about promotions or events or what have you. And again, if there's a certain announcement that we have to do, we can put that on our TV. We go live every Friday. So again, we can include an announcement in our lives under our housekeeping section to kind of say, this is what's happening. So there are different ways that you can announce it. You could even go so far, depending on how critical this product was to your store, is creating little postcards, you know, bag stuffers that you're going to hand out to customers when they come in the store. And it's just kind of giving the reason as to why you've decided to eliminate this brand. And I would go so far as then to say what I would recommend in place of
that. You could even stock up on samples of what you want to switch people to and have that ready to go.
Yep. We actually, it's similar, but a little bit off topic. We put together what we call our nibbler sampler. or our nibble sampler, sorry. I've gone to like a restaurant supply store and I just buy those little like takeout boxes that you would get at a restaurant if you didn't finish your meal, and they pack it up in a little box. And we already have those, like they're ready to go. We've got our postcards in there with kind of our educational content, as well as our nibbler sample menu. And when we hand out samples, we indicate what flavor it was, right? Because we're very generous with our samples. This was kind of a twofold initiative for my store, I guess. One, we wanted to let the customer know exactly what they had, because lots of times customers would come back and say, oh my God, my dog loved all the samples that you gave me, or he really loved this one, but I don't remember which one it was. So we're trying to capture exactly what samples we're giving so that the customer, there's a spot on our little menu card that they can check off. This was the one my dog loved. The other side of that is, prior to this, it was very anecdotal for me to say, oh, we do really well with samples. When we hand out samples, we convert customers. But I didn't have the metrics to prove that. And these little cards we have on there that once you figured out your dog's favorite food, bring it back, and we'll give you $10 off towards the food purchase of whichever food you decide to buy. And now we actually can collect metrics to say how well we do with samples. So I think samples, period, but especially if you are breaking up with a brand and you are replacing that brand, or you're going to recommend an existing brand, samples are an excellent way to kind of help you make that transition, I guess.
I love your idea of the nibbler sample menu. Yeah. Is it, yeah. do you call it a menu?
I think we call it a menu. Yes.
Okay. Because you're right. People forget what you handed them, you know? And yeah, quick note on samples, and I tell brands this all the time, especially if I'm looking to bring in a new brand, I ask if they have samples. If they don't, it's kind of that's a check mark in the bad column, because if a customer doesn't buy, if you can't get them to buy right then, you want to put something in their hand. If they don't walk out the door with something in their hand, then they're probably not coming back.
Yep.
And that sample can be a huge conversion factor.
Yeah.
So, and I love your little nibbler thing, because you mentioned it has a bounce back coupon on it.
Yeah.
That gets them back in the store. It's a bigger incentive. I love the whole idea. I need to do one.
Yeah. So. We're actually, one of our other local businesses in the city is kind of expanding the operation that he currently offers. And he is providing almost like a concierge service to your house. So if you're out of town, or if you need somebody to check on your house or water your plants or shovel your driveway or whatever, it's just kind of like extended home care. And he's partnering up with a couple other businesses too. So if you were out of town and you're like, hey, can you spruce up the house and like vacuum before I get home or whatever, he's teamed up with some cleaning services that they can do that. But he came to us and said, you know, what we're wondering is, for our customers who are booking this service, when they have pets, we'd like to leave them something. And, you know, we're wondering if you have ideas of what we could do. And I suggested our sampler menus. So they would come home to a little box of different samples that we have, our you know, all our good little tasty foods and treats. And it would have all of the information right in the box about what you're sampling and where to find us. And I mean, I think it benefits both of our businesses, right? There's a chance that we obviously attract some new customers from his services. And it's something that he can provide his customers as kind of a, you know, a little bonus gift for his customers. So they come in very handy, and the customers are walking out going, holy cow, like, it's different than just handing them one little tiny bag of a quarter cup of kibble in a sample bag, right? They're literally walking out with a takeout box full of food, I say, for their dog, like I say with air quotes, food, but it is. They're just getting it in. What is that? What are those called? The tiny little sample.
Are you talking about a doggy bag?
No, I'm talking
about. That's a good pun right there. You could have a doggy bag of samples.
You could. I guess it is kind of a doggy bag. No, I was thinking of, what are those, the serving sizes, when they're tiny little serving sizes, you go to those fancy restaurants and you just get little tiny serving sizes of it. Anyways. So what would be your best tip if a retailer has decided they need to break up with a brand? how do they do it gracefully? How do they do it with their head held high? You're not trying to burn bridges. That's the thing.
I think being honest with your customers is the number one. That way they'll trust you more. And don't worry about losing business. Look, you might lose one or two people because you're getting rid of that brand, but you're going to gain the trust of so many more because of your reasons. So you got to tell people why you're doing it, especially if you're getting rid of a brand because of an ingredient change or, you know, they're not at the same quality as they used to be.
I think it's important too, that when, because your rep will likely notice, especially if it was a big seller, if it was a big seller in your store, and now all of a sudden, they notice that your orders are decreasing and going down, and what the heck, Sherry's not reordering this anymore. Those reps will likely reach out and say, hey, Sherry, like, what's going on? I noticed that you haven't placed an order in a month, or you're not ordering the same volume, or whatever the question is. Just remember that for whatever reason you have decided not to carry that brand, your rep was probably not the reason. So that's where I'm saying, like, we don't want to burn bridges with those reps. It's not the rep's fault. They don't make the decisions to change a brand or sell it out or change ingredients. So maintaining that relationship, because if the rep has the same type of morals or beliefs that you do when it comes to pet products, and if the company's made enough changes that the rep finally goes, holy cow, this is not the company I started with, they might move on to another company. So you don't want to burn those bridges with them.
Right, right. I think the word you were looking for earlier, Carly, is tapas.
That is the word. See, it's very much like mimosas. Very much. So yes.
Well, tapas go good with mimosas.
Okay, there you go. See, and I believe that was an idea I had in my head that we were going to call it the tapas treat pack or something. But then I'm like, does everybody know what a tapas is? Because I didn't. The very first time a restaurant opened up in the city and that was their big thing, they were all about tapas. I thought it was a type of food. I didn't realize it was the size of serving. So yeah, you just can't be all fancy schmancy when people don't understand it.
No, I think doggy bag makes more sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Any more tips that you have, Sherry, when you need to break up with a brand? I guess we covered the reasons that you might want to break up with a brand. I'm just trying to think of the things that we saw in our Facebook group. I want to make sure that we're answering those questions.
I think the biggest obstacle that stores have with this issue is the separation anxiety of the whole thing. And they're worried they're going to lose customers. But again, you know, we've said it before, if the space on your shelf is very important. So if it's not bringing in enough money, then, you know, it's time to try something new. Mm-hmm. And you want fresh stuff in your store anyway. No matter what the reason is of why you're phasing out the brand, you just got to do it and you got to pull off that Band-Aid and don't be scared about it.
Well, and I think too, though there are some brands that have exceptional loyalty from the customer, I think when it comes to the pet industry, the store would have a higher level of loyalty than the brand. So if you've decided that you are no longer going to carry a brand, you've been honest with your customer, you've been honest with the brand, you've done your research to find a quality replacement, because that is something that I have seen in the past where store owners have come forward and say, I need to replace this brand. What can I replace it with? Well, you're looking for the opinions of people, of other store owners that maybe aren't in your area, don't have the same customer demographic that you do. Just asking for that kind of, you know, what can we throw at the wall and hope that sticks? I don't think that's the right approach to replacing. You need to be purposeful in selecting the brands that you're going to bring into your store, especially if you need to replace one. But the customer loyalty is not necessarily at the brand level. It's at the store level. So like Sherry said, you may lose the odd customer here or there, but you're going to gain more because you've stuck to your guns, right? You've established, like, these are the values of my store. This is what we stick to. And if this has happened, then we're getting rid of the brand. We're replacing the brand.
I do have one more tip. And that's if, once you've decided to eliminate the brand and you've got it in your clearance section or it's off the shelf or about to be off the shelf and you're interested in bringing in another brand, ask them to buy out the space. So that way you get that new brand on your shelf and you didn't even have to buy it.
Well, or if you think back to our episode with BC and he talked about like that they can fill a door or they can fill a section or at the very least be giving you a 50% ISO. So yeah, look for ways that that brand, the new brand you're going to replace the old brand with, is looking to partner with you. Years ago when I met with one of my distributor reps and I was looking at a brand that he carried and I was looking to replace a brand that we carried at the time, very small selection of the brand, but he told me to reach out to the brand rep and tell him to buy the space. And because that's what they do. This is what the distributor rep told me. So I didn't know anything. I was a baby pet store owner. So I reached out to the brand rep and I'm like, hey, like I was talking with my distributor and he said you would buy the space. And I got back this nasty email that this brand, I'm not going to name the name, but this brand does not buy space in stores. I'm like, I didn't even know that was a thing. Yeah. So,
wow. No, whenever I've brought it up, usually they'll work with me. And if they don't buy out the space completely, I mean, they'll throw some kind of money at it. Yes. I mean, whether I get a free fill or a big discount on it, I mean, either way, you save a little, but wow, yeah. I haven't heard of that response before.
Well, and you know what? For the most part, the majority of brands want to be in as many stores as possible. So they're willing to work with you, right? Those brands that currently have exclusivity deals with different stores, again, I think you're being a little short-sighted because you want to be in more stores. But for the brands who truly are actively looking to be on more shelves, they're willing to work with you. So just have those discussions. And like, what do they always say? You never know until you ask, right? So If you haven't asked, don't assume that they won't do anything for you. I know I had a chat with a brand that we just recently brought in and I said, listen, I know that I'm doing this like slowly over time. I'm not just like bringing your entire line in. And so like, will you work with me on my ISO? Because I'm really spreading this out. And otherwise you got off the hook really easy when I brought in 6 bags, you know, and you're going to give me my discount there. And my rep was awesome. He's like, yes, of course. I'll totally, you know, we'll work this out. We'll make sure that you get a good discount to bring in the food. And so, yeah, just ask.
And honestly, if they're not willing to work with you, then maybe you shouldn't bring them in.
I think that's a good indication of your future relationship.
Exactly. Yeah. Are they going to have your back or not?
Yeah.
But I think that's a whole other topic for another episode.
Well, this was how we can gracefully end those brand relationships. If the time comes that you need to, for a variety of reasons, you've got some tips and tricks here that you can now kind of implement to make the transition a little bit smoother for you, your team, and your customers.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We will catch you next time.
All right, then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's it for this episode, Pet Pro.
Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe.
Just hit all the buttons.
So you never miss the podcast that makes you sit, stay, and beg for more.
The Pet Shop Girls. Boop. Pardon me. Okay.